Hi, my name's Sean Chalert. That guy over there adjusting his camera is my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek. Welcome to Avatar, The Last Podcasters, and a show where we talk about how inspiration comes from all places. Chris, how was your week? It's actually been a few weeks since we talked. I feel like you should feel enabled to talk about all of those weeks and how they were.
The last week, has been, I don't even remember the week before that. What happened, but last week has been great. Went on vacation, me and my wife only went on a cruise to Celebrity Cruise. That's the cruise line. She doesn't have a lot of kids. There's probably,
it's not a honestly, cruise one for YouTube celebrities.
It's not
just honestly, you and Smosh Games and that one really rich guy that everybody loves. And
but I last time we cruised on Virgin, and she's like, oh yeah, well there's, because you pass cruise ships all the time. It's kind of fun seeing cruise ships.
They're so big.
And this time when we ported at one of them, like we ported right next to a Norwegian, I think it was Norwegian one, and so it was like just cruise by cruise ship. Just anyway, so I was like, "Oh, Celebrity! Like, what is that?" Like, my initial head did go to like richer people, but no, it's just what it's called. It wasn't as expensive as the Virgin Voyages cruise we went on.
It's always amazing. Like, a cruise ship is like twice the size of two dimensional area. Not even counting volume, but two dimensional area is like twice the size of the town I grew up in. The cruise ship. It's incredible, Chris.
It's not that. It's not that. It can't be that big.
It might be. Let's do a quick Google.
What a cruise ship is like a cruise ship, Sean. If you have a road, it's not. A cruise ship is probably.
There's just a road, though. You got it. Of the Celebrity Cruise. I just want the two dimensional area, right? I don't want the three. Two.
Well, if you count,
it is about
like
it's 1,100 feet long.
Oh, wow! 1,100 feet. Yeah.
So it's about the length that, like, one cruise ship is about the length of that whole town. Like, I don't think the town is a quarter mile long.
And then, if you multiply it by the number of floors, which there's like 14. Okay.
Just the other day, I counted the number of people in my hometown that were still there. I did a real quick census check. I think it came up with 18. Depends on where you draw the boundaries. I don't know where they actually are. That's awesome.
But my cruise was great. I did have some Avatar epiphanies on my cruise. And I'll get into one of them that leads into our topic of today. But one of the epiphanies, one thing I love about going on cruise, this is my second cruise I've been on, is the thing I love most is just sitting on the balcony and just like seeing the ocean and just listening to it, feeling the breeze of the wind and stuff. And I did have an epiphany of like, oh, I understand Earth. Like, I love how the Avatar universe really treats the elements and really dives into like, oh, what does it mean to like be an airbender and an earthbender and stuff. And how, one thing I've noticed all the time, it's how earthbenders are not spiritual people. Like, you don't really find spiritual earthbenders, because earth is tangible, and it's very like, that is a rock. A rock is a rock. and you throw a rock. While air is like, feel it in you and stuff, and it flows out of you and into people. While water is like when I was out and I'm like, oh man, I can just listen to the water and swooshing and stuff, and it's so cerebral. And I'm the same way with air. And even fire, like if you have a candle lit fire or a fireplace going, you hear the crackling, you hear the fire consumes and stuff. Like, there are like kind of metaphorical thoughts you can apply to those three elements, while earth is more like, yeah, there's a mountain, and yeah, there's a rock there. There's nothing, I guess, peaceful necessarily about Earth. You don't like hear Earth and stuff. So I found that interesting.
I need I need like a derogatory, like I'm going to call you an airhead. Like you're just up there on the deck enjoying just the sounds of the air.
It is.
Because you're such an airhead. I assume it's a derogatory term.
It's just the downtime in between events. It's like, oh, I'll just sit on the balcony and read a book and wait for, listen to the ocean and the vastness of the seas and read this smutty book.
And there's a few things about that you're saying that like they sound good, and then you'll be like, and look at the vastness of the ocean, and my anxiety just peaks immediately. Like nope, I'm out.
You know what I realized? Because I was looking out, right? And you get out to a certain point where there's just ocean. And I was like, how far am I actually looking out to? And so I Google, like, because we were on like the 10th floor, which is probably about 100 or so feet from ocean level. And I look, and I Google, like, how far can a person see out if they're at 100 feet up and it's a flat horizon? And it's actually only like 12 miles. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, you can only be around you in a 24 to 30 mile diameter.
That's less than I would have expected just for like a clear day. Like I'm picturing sitting on the beach and watching a cruise ship like sail out of the port, and it feels like you can see it so far, but then I guess that's only 12 miles, and that's because that's all my eyes know how to see. All right, it feels like it should be farther though, doesn't it?
I was surprised by that. But then when I actually looked at it, I was like, all right, I could probably gauge like from here to there, it's probably a mile. And then from there to there, it's probably 2 miles. And yeah, I probably can only see about 12 miles from this high up of a distance.
Even when I'm like flying over an ocean, and if I look out one window and I see land, which is stupid because if you crash on land, you're going to die. If you crash in the ocean, maybe you live, you know. When I look at one side and I see land, it's fine. And I look at the other side and I see nothing but water, and it just makes me want to throw up all over that window. Don't know why.
But yeah, that was I love that aspect of it.
And your kids survived grandma and grandpa's?
Well, just grandma. But my there's no grandpa.
Gotcha.
Well, on my wife's side, family. Anyway,
they were in the Topeka grandparents, or
yeah, my wife's
okay.
Mom,
I got you.
Yeah, my parents live in Tulsa, but they just stayed with my mother-in-law the whole week,
and
so
it was good. Also survived. That's good.
Yes, she also survived.
Good.
But other epiphany I had. So, like I said, before I get into my other epiphany. Because then that will lead us into the topic. Sean, how was your week?
It was good. I finished modding my Nintendo Switch, which has been sitting around for like before Geo came. Like I had it like halfway done, and then Geo came, and then became like, oh, I'll do that later. And that's been 18 months or, you know, something ridiculous, 15 months. So I finished that. So I felt pretty good. And then, you know, like an adult, all that time, all that effort, I used it to play Madden 12. And so, you know, just definitely worth it. And then I went to the K-State game, and it was supposed to be Camden's first football game, which was going to be cool. But then it was really wet, so then it was just me. And so instead of being sad but having a baby, I was just regular sad and wet and cold. So that was disappointing. But,
and they got killed.
They got killed. And listen, Chris, I don't dabble in sports betting a lot because I'm not good at it. And when it first became legal, I signed up and I got the free money and be like, you deposit $10, we'll give you $100. And I burned through it all pretty fast. Like, all right, I'm bad at gambling. I don't need to do that anymore. Because I actively went out of my way because KU was favored. I was like, no, I've watched every game that both of these teams have played. This is a terrible thing that KU is favored. And went out of my way to bet a large sum of money against KU. Is like, this is wrong. This is bad. This is wrong.
Oh, nice.
That's a win-win. It is, but it makes me feel bad betting against my own team. I was like, no, Vegas isn't watching these two teams play. I am, I think. They're doing it bad. Also, it's like Vegas doesn't believe in curses, when clearly football states that curses are real. Yeah, the rules of football. But no, I had several good weeks, and I'm about halfway through the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. About halfway through.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Not that we had to rush through it, because I'm through the good half, and I have the bad half left.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, there's only one great movie.
We'll save it for the conversation, but I fall farther that way every time. Like, I see the appeal from a family movie perspective of the second one, but no, it's way weirder. But I still enjoyed every second of watching it for sure. Third one, but no, we'll save it for the talk. I'm interested because John always has pretty different feelings. So I'm curious if there's one that. Like, I'm curious to which one's somebody going to jump out and defend that's going to surprise all of us. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, I had good weeks. But yeah, Chris, tell us about your other epiphany, and let's talk about smut.
Yeah, so one of the things, I don't read often, but I do really love reading on the cruise ship. That's a really part of disconnecting. I just like being on the balcony and reading. So I was like, all right, I need a book. To read, I was going to read Vinland Saga, but I read through all my books before the cruise, and honestly, they wouldn't have lasted long anyway. And so I heard about this book called Fourth Wing, right here. I'm almost through it, and I thought this was a young adult book. In the young adult book genre, is a fantasy book, and as I was reading it, I was like, "Wow, why is this man?" The book is about like a 20-year-old. If I could describe the book by elevator pitch, it would be like, all right, Hunger Games meets with Harry Potter, maybe, because they're at a college or stuff, meets with something with dragons, anything, I guess. Game of Thrones. No, not Game of Thrones, because that's not but they have dragons, right? And it's like they have this kingdom. They have dragon riders. They all have powers. They channel these powers through their dragons. So that's all pretty cool. The dragon kingdom goes up against this like griffin kingdom, and they need to defend against them. Whatever. They go to school and stuff. You can easily die at a school. In fact, only like 10% of them survive through this specific school.
That's a harsh curriculum, but, man.
Yeah, it is. And then they can kill each other and stuff.
But it's very Hunger Games-y.
Yeah. Not only can... And there's some bad writing. I mean, there's a lot of bad writing in the book, honestly. But there's some plot holes of like, it's hard to come by dragon riders. Because that one thing, a lot of them die just in the process of applying for the school and getting into the school. And then even once they get into the school, and even when they get a dragon... So if they get into the school, they could be killed by someone else legally. Like if they challenge them or something, and then even if they get past that, they gotta get a dragon, but the dragons could kill them legally because dragons select their riders. And even when they get a dragon, they could be killed. It's like, if you guys have such low numbers of riders, how about you stop allowing them to be killed?
That's to say, if there's a shortage of dragons, like, all right, that's one thing, but if the dragon shortage isn't the problem and the people killing the other people is the problem,
yeah,
I have a suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah. But what caught me off guard by reading the book is the main character, her name is Violet. She is very horny. Like, she's always talking about how hot guys are, and it's, I was like, oh, this is weird that she's always talking about how hot people are. She's like, oh yeah, so and so's chiseled chest and stuff, and even her sister was like, oh, when you go to college, like, hey, you should be having sex, stuff. And then I'm like, oh, okay, all right, progressive, sure, good for her, get it in, stuff. But I thought that might be the end of it. No, that was not the end.
You thought it was just like a quick birds and the bees convo?
Yeah, or I just thought she just thought about how hot people were. She was very descriptive. And then got into... certain scenes are like set scenes, and they are detailed. very, very detailed. I was like, oh, I'm reading Sput. Like, I have an epiphany of like, oh, this is... Sean, I'm going to share with you a line of dialogue.
Okay, but don't say it too loud. My wife is right here.
Yeah, because it is... Let's see here. Okay. Let's see here. Oh no, go right. And also, she curses a lot. F, that feels good. Every touch of his mouth to my heated skin is flame to kindling, and I suck in a sharp breath when he lingers on a sensitive spot, taking his time, but then he stills again, his breath hot and wet against the side of my neck. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty. And then, very detailed.
And then
very
detailed. The part where I knew, I was like, oh, this is like, she's like,
I just picture you like get into a certain part of the book and you read it and your wife sit next to you and you just like hand her the book and be like, is this smut? And she just reads like two lines and she hands it back. She's like, yeah, it's smut.
Yeah. Let's see. What else does... And he's like, I always effing want you. He groans as I... Oh, no. Does this feel like I don't want you? He takes my hand and slides it in between our bodies and fingers curl around his length through his leathers. I whimper with pure want and feel like, oh my gosh, what the heck am I? And then it gets even more detailed of like the actual, just very descriptive. Yeah. And I was like, oh, how did I get here? How did I get to a point where I was reading smut?
It doesn't sound very Airbender-like, but, you know, I don't know that much about Airbender culture. I'm going to let it slide. Yeah.
But I will say, the other thing, the book itself is, outside of that stuff that makes me cringe itself, the book and the universe is really interesting.
Chris, the internet is scary. Also- I'm watching a Celebrity Cruise commercial right now. Like, there's a Celebrity Cruise ad, like, on the internet's terrifying place. That's messed up.
Oh my god! Yeah. It definitely is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. one thing. There is also another relationship or another relationship aspect of, and this is how it relates to Avatar, of the enemies to lovers relationship. And I learned from reading this book about myself that when it comes to enemy to lovers relationships, I don't like them. I don't think. And, you know, the most popular one is Zutara. And I've never thought of Zutara.
I thought you were going to say of all time. Like, I just assumed you were going to talk about, like, a Romeo and Juliet. Like, that's the archetype that we're kind of going for. But not quite, but kind of.
To me, that's not enemies. To me, that's, like... To me, that's not enemies to lovers. To me, that... Well, also, I haven't read Romeo.
It's its own separate archetype.
That's, like, warring families.
Yeah.
Thing. Like, those two never hated each other. At least I, from what I can remember, no.
I don't think I
ever read it. I don't hate Zutara ship. I think it's, I don't ship it, but I never thought that much deep into of like the enemies lovers part of it. And I have realized like past stuff that I've read, I don't like enemies lovers relationships. And I learned that about myself. Like I read Children of Blood and Bone, although I stopped reading that like with 50 pages ago. Because of that, I was like, this doesn't... I mean, enemies-lovers relationships kind of fall into line. I think the reason why I don't like it is that things I don't like about main characters sometimes is when they make choices that they logically shouldn't make. Well, no, that's not true, because that's... When they make choices that... I don't think there's any good reason to make that choice.
I think a lot of it feels extra dramatic too, right? Like it feels like it's supposed to be I can't think of good examples, but it feels like it's supposed to be like a twist or an unexpected thing, but it's like, it's not. It's just just a meh thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure the first time an author did it, he probably like, well, like, this is so innovative. Okay.
Yeah. But this is funny, there's this other, and so that got me thinking, I was like, oh, is this what Zutara, like, is this relationship dynamic that I'm reading what Zutara fans are kind of wanting? And as a non-Zutara person, I was, that just clicked in my head. But also, I was like, yeah, that's not what I want. But in doing that, the purpose of this episode is to try and pick out some enemies, lower ships that could possibly be good, or at least the best ones that we could think of.
I dig it. I love it. Do you want to hear the first one I thought of?
Absolutely.
So we actually have discussed this before. I believe we did in the episode with Jamie, but I think that Sokka and Ty Lee would be adorable together. I think they would. Yeah. I think they'd be that parents that you like, you think they're not going to work, and then they just do. And it turns out they're really good parents and a couple. And their kids would be athletic and strategic and maybe not have, like, what's the word? Maybe not a lot of book smarts, but that's okay. They got other skills.
I mean, Sokka has plenty of book smarts.
Sokka has what I would call, like, wisdom, not intelligence. If we're talking like D&D terms, he has wisdom.
To me, he has no wisdom.
Is it the opposite? Am I looking at it wrong?
I think he has plenty of intelligence
and no wise.
And not a lot of wisdom.
Okay.
Like Iroh doesn't show me as much intelligence as Sokka shows me.
No, I think I think you're on it there. I just think they would be that couple that you would look at and be like, "How's that work?" And it just kind of does.
But also, he's also kind of dumb too.
He sure can be.
But that's a great character. When characters contradict themselves, I think that's a sign of, and it makes sense and flows. It's a sign of great writing.
Or when they grow into themselves, like at first he's awkward and there's just these little hints, but later it develops that sense of strategic thinking and creative mindset that he has, and it feels like organic growth.
Yeah,
that was the first one that came to my mind. It's probably loose to call Tally a full-on enemy, but she is.
Yeah. I have seen some, I think, pretty good artwork, speaking of Sokka, and this, I think, would be fully enemy to lovers. Sokka and Azula. I've seen stuff like that where I'm like, okay.
Just tiny little,
I'm not saying
tiny little evil masterminds.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the, to me, that dynamic is like the, and it's almost a sitcom-y dynamic of like the stuck up, kind of shelved off or closed off woman with the more charismatic, I guess, slightly dumber male counterpart. So it's kind of that dynamic there.
I think there's something with like, I can't pair and probably would refuse to pair Azula with anybody who had a lot of self-esteem. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a certain amount of like self-doubt to get into what is ultimately going to be an abusive relationship.
Yeah, but I think you either need someone with very low self-esteem or someone with very, very high self-esteem to put Azula more so in a, I don't want to say put her in her place.
No, that seems destined. I'm staying on the low side, and I think those like this like Sokka down a different path. Sokka after a few different life choices, and then he ends up here. It's like, okay, yeah, I can see those little bits of self doubt and things in him that maybe make that interesting.
Yeah.
Does May get to end up with anybody good? I couldn't think of any. I couldn't find a good vibe there.
Well, that thing is that, like, you know, she's almost like so indecisive, not indecisive, but just in she's not even good or bad. Like, she just goes with whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so kind of in the middle.
Could she wind up with Toph and they could just be really negative together forever? Just go off the grid and just hate stuff?
That would be
funnier than
it's functional. Interesting. I was thinking of some other ships, and it was like, all right, these two characters, while like on paper seem like they were, but they might just be too alike. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking of like of Aang and Ty Lee. Of like, no, you both are too happy, cheery.
That's kind of too. That's too. I don't like flat. Like, there doesn't feel like there's any depth there. It's like, oh, they're just happy people. And it's like, that's not a good enough reason, you know? I need more than that. So I agree that that's not a great take. I'm going to stick with, no, you know, I don't have any good things for May. We might have to come back to her another time, or just let her be. You know what? You can be perfectly happy and fulfilled alone. It is possible. It is a choice. May, think about it.
Or let's see, for Katara, when I think of bad, there's not that many.
We don't have a ton of bad options, you know, not unless we're about to like ship somebody with Combustion Man.
Yeah, no, that's a
we don't have a great broad.
Yeah, and that's the thing, when I was thinking about Legend of Korra, like, most of the bad guys are, like, 10 years older than the... I mean, they're 21 by the end. Most of them are, like, 21, 22 by the end of the show.
To where it's at least, like, acceptable gap.
Yeah. Like, Korra, the one that I thought of, that was like, oh, yeah, I think that could possibly work, was Kuvira. But then I thought to myself, the same issue with the Aang-Ty Lee thing, I'm like, I think these two are a little too similar. They're so similar that was pretty much the through line of season four, of like, Korra is facing an adversary like her who mirrors herself.
I didn't think across series at all, but that does open some doors. I don't know why it didn't cross my mind, I just didn't. I think that's a lot of directness in one household, if you will. I feel like Jet a bad guy? He's bad at being a good guy, I'll say that much.
Oh, you know, if we maybe Jet Azula.
That's kind of funny. I didn't know where you were going with that, but I kind of like how that sounds. They're gonna make things happen, Chris. They're gonna be those go getters. That's what they are. Things are gonna
It's fine. Those are. I would be so interested just to see those two characters interact. Those two characters have never interacted. Because Jet. They never interact.
Those would be the two characters that were raised by the coaches who are like, if you can't do it, you know, right, do it 110%, and it's just their whole motto forever.
Let's see. Oh, there's, well, no, that's lovers to enemies. I was thinking of Kyoshi and Yoon.
That is sadly backwards, but what a shame, because what an interesting pairing.
Yeah. Oh, bad guys. This is, I wonder, for Iman, although I think she's old, much older than him. Yeah, she would have to be. Yeah, she is. No.
Are you about to say Lin? Because I'm on board. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's do it. that feels like two alike in one place, but like, I like the general idea of just...
That would be... I mean, he took away her bending.
Well, think of the forgiveness steps that would have to come, and you know, how that would bring them closer together.
That would take episodes upon episodes, seasons and stuff for them to, they would have to be like trapped together somehow, maybe in the spirit world or something for a while or something like that for those two to, but
a bonded by trauma type approach for them, I think.
Yeah.
Let me think. Other, you know, book three of Korra is a little tough because it feels like Zaheer and Pali are spoken for. But you know, Duke is on and Ming-Hwa, do they find love? Gazan's easier than Ming-Hwa just because Gazan's like a flatter personality, right? Like it's just easier to picture Ming-Hwa's.
Man, Ming-Hwa got some Azula. You know, I don't know why, but Ming-Hwa makes it both water dry. Ming-Hwa and maybe Bumi. I say he's water dry because he's actually an air nomad at this point. But
I mean, he's still water tribe, like ethnically, yeah. Right?
To me, he is more water tribe. Maybe just the way he is painted, depicted, and often see him wearing. I feel like I've seen. Oh, well, I've seen him wear blue one time, and also his mom is water tribe. But yeah, he is both.
What I love about that I didn't think, like, I never would have thought about that. But what I love about that is, like, you know, he's just kind of nutty and open minded. To like, he'd probably, there'd be a learning curve, you know, and then they would coexist nicely, I think. I don't know what they would talk about, but they probably do. I see him as open and accepting. That's why.
Sure.
Gazan's easier, but also less interesting. It's like, all right.
It's like,
And then Kuvir is, you know, maybe Kuvir is the most interesting villain. Well, I mean, I guess Mon too, but maybe Kuvir is the most interesting villain from Korra to
I know who Kuvir could be with. General Iroh II. They're both about the same age.
Instant love it.
They're
immediate.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, let's say she does some time, right? She does some hard time, deservedly so. Okay. And somehow or another, she proves herself to be a good citizen and use her powers and resources for the greater good and all that. And they let her out. And she meets General Iroh, and suddenly you have these two, like, wildly talented people, both driven public servants in their own way.
Yeah.
They could have their own little metal clan city out there. I mean, it wouldn't be the metal. It'd be something else. Or maybe it would be metal. But, like, they could start their own little, like, sub-civilization that they could have complete control over.
I mean, the Fire Prince and the previous Emperor of the Earth Kingdom, both elite benders, top sits top seven, you know, we put Iroh 2 in as, you know, like top just in firebending itself. And then Kuvira is probably the best metal bender. Like, holy crap, those two.
Iroh 2's small sample was 100% like elite. Like it was small, but there was not one small thing in it. Everything that he did was awesome. Chris, that's the best thing that you've said yet. I'm all on board for that. This character arc. Chris, forget Korra didn't cause the calamity, okay? Listen, Iroh 2, and they didn't cause it on purpose, okay? They didn't cause it on purpose. It's too much power in one small space. Something big.
Maybe they were trying.
Bad.
They're trying to make renewable energy.
They were. Yeah, that's perfect. Spirit Vine, like infinite, what do you call it? The infinite energy machines, like the things that go on forever. They were trying to do that with some spirit vines, and then Korra couldn't stop it. So everybody blames Korra, and some people blame them because they're not thinking about the good that they were trying to do. Chris, we're honest. So that's the calamity right there. We've solved it. We don't even need to see the series now. We know how it goes.
I doubt. Would that be somewhere someone watches this? Like, How did they figure it out?
Then they changed the script real quick.
Figure it out.
No, Chris, it's going to be the other way. They're watching this. Mike and Brian are going to see this and be like, that's way better than what we had.
I doubt it's way better than whatever they came up with.
That's way better. Nope, I love it. Iroh 2 and Kuvira Calamity. Their own little...
And honestly, Kuvira needs... Batar Jr., way too much of a wimp. Way too much of a pushover.
That's not a good... Yeah, that's not a good match. That's clearly a match of, like...
It was.
Of convenience ambition. And, convenience ambition.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he can forgive her at this point, you know?
Yeah, also, I don't care about Batar Jr. That's...
He does feel like... Who's just the guy that did bad stuff and he wasn't even really good at being a bad guy or a good guy, and... Yeah. There he is.
Let's see. What other... What bad guy can Mako end up...
What bad guy can Mako... You know,
I don't think he has many options.
I still haven't been thinking across series because I like narratively, but I'm going to try to keep my brain open to that possibility. June? Well, she's... Is she bad? She's bad, yeah.
No, not really. I mean...
She's a bounty hunter. I guess I don't want to judge her based on her trade. She was trying to capture the Avatar, Chris. I think for the purposes of this exercise, I'm going to classify her as bad, but I'm also going to go ahead and say that I don't know if that's a good match in particular. She could be the bad. She could be the bad to Iroh's good, Chris. Those two could just make it work.
Iroh and Hommel?
That's
she would kill.
Weird. That's so weird. I didn't think about her. That's terrifying.
Honestly, she seems older than Iroh.
She does.
She seems like she's like sits like maybe 70.
Oh, see, in my mind, something. I had her like upper 70s. Like I had her, or honestly, just let's maybe older in my mind. Water bending is like kind of a source to that water healing, right? Like that excess longevity. So I had her pegged even older. I was thinking, north of 80. I don't know. Does she say a year? Does she talk about how long she's been under the mountain or anything?
I don't think they do. I don't think they mention it.
Interesting. No, you know what?
But yeah, I think Iroh's like late 50s, early 50s, and she's probably like mid 70s.
I don't care to ship her with anybody because that's terrifying. who voices her? She's got a famous voice actress, right?
We went over it one time. That lady was, I don't remember her name, but she was legendary.
I got it. It's she's bugging done. Me now because I can hear her voice.
I think she did the mom from Futurama. The grandma. Right.
She's mom from Futurama. That's what it is. Well, in like 100 other things. That's just the one that hits immediately.
No, and I do think she has literally done hundreds of voices.
I think so, too. I think we looked at that. Tress McNeil. That's what it was. Saw here somewhere. I didn't know that. I had to look it up, but yes. Anyway, nope, not going to ship her with anybody. That's terrifying. She can have random old good guy who's just needs a roof over his head, and he's willing to take a little abuse for it.
Let's see. Who else do we have?
Does Unalaq get to? I mean, he's normal-ish in a lot of senses. That Megan's like, no, you could just have like a cult status thing with a an unwary, naive, good lady or good man, either one.
Yeah. When it comes to Unalaq, I don't know. He's such a character that I don't really think that hard about, and so
And he already had kids, so, you know, he already had his has chance.
I wonder what happened to his wife.
I mean,
killed.
Can Eska and Balin be happy together? Desna, wait, uh-oh, which one's which?
Well, that's not really a Eska. Eska is the... I believe. Wait.
See, now I did the same thing. I think we both said Eska first, so I bet it's Eska. I'm going to trust our instincts.
I'm pretty sure it's Eska.
But, I mean, she's not really bad, I guess. She's not really bad. Who else on the bad side needs some love? Season one, Varric gets season four, Julie. That's pretty cool. See, that's already a good to bad guy in its own weird way.
Yeah.
Am I out of bad guys?
I mean, there's only like 10 bad guys across.
A handful of them.
I mean, we didn't do Long Fei. We don't talk about Long Fei that much, actually.
You know, I kind of forget about him. And like, he's definitely a bad guy, but he gets swept under the rug of the grander picture. Balin and May. There it is. He's always like trying to make her happy and she refuses to smile, but they still live together for some reason.
Yeah.
I could just picture her being people are like, why are you with him? And she just like flat face, like he makes me laugh and they can't tell if she's joking or not. It's perfect. Long thing. Yeah. Who does he? Maybe he can.
Nah, no. He's the same as the monologue.
Yeah, it's too dull. It's no, there's no spice there to work with.
And also, how many, you know, 25 and up characters are there to?
What about
Long Fei couldn't handle like a? Well, he's a bad guy.
What about Zhao? He's stupid. Like, can we find an unwitting, dumb, good person to be with Zhao?
No.
No, he is unlovable.
Yeah. What bad guy can we put with Kaya?
She deserves somebody really thought provoking. Who's
the... Honestly, the close one, I think. I mean, their age difference is probably
what about
big. I'm like, but
what about just Gazan? You know, what if he's right-brained and she's left-brained, and they just kind of coexist nicely.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she's into dudes. I forget.
You mentioned that before. I forgot. That was a comic book nod, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it actually also, comics, or was it just headcanon stuff?
No, it was comics.
Okay. Well, yeah, that opens up our options a little bit.
Or it closes.
Or it closes, yeah.
Or like, the only one I can think of, I mean... Oh, maybe Kaya and Ming Hua. That would be interesting.
Waterbender sense, that's kind of a lot of fun. I would describe them both as creative in their own ways. I see some potential there. I feel like there's so many more good guys than bad guys, or like a lot of the bad guys aren't bad guys.
Oh, that's the thing. Who, if we could find anyone for Ozai?
Doesn't deserve anyone.
Across any of the characters from... Because he's ultimate, shallow, one-dimensional bad guy.
Can he be with a I-can-fix-him person? Like a super optimistic I-can-fix-him lady? Do we got any of those wandering around?
Yeah. Honestly, he's... Gosh, I forget how abusive.
What if he's with the fortune teller? he goes there in search of wisdom and his next evil plots, and then he senses charm and calm from her, and then he stays. And then she just controls him with bullshit prophecies. She manipulates him.
Yeah, honestly, I can't have anything for him. He's the bad guy that you don't love to hate. He's just the one that you kind of hate.
If they were in high school, it'd be easier, because like, well, that's a good girl, but they're in high school and she's shallow. We're talking about smut, so she's just like, oh, he's got good abs. We'd sell it that way. Other bad guys need more bad guys. Listen, not good to bad or bad to good or anything, but I want Zhao to end up with Hama, because I just think that's what they both deserve. That's what they both get.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about just like wishing we had a wider what's the word that like the company of villains, but that's not it. The gallery? Is that what they like talking about when all Batman's villains together? It's his.
Called the Rogues Gallery.
Rogues Gallery, yeah. We needed like a wider Rogues Gallery.
It's true.
Well, maybe that's it.
I mean, Rogues Gallery typically only happens if you have if they're reoccurring.
True.
Yeah, fantasy, which is easy to do in comics because it's like, well, they have to reoccur. You can't completely defeat them. They have to come back in 12 issues.
That guy that you and Barry told me about, and I get like all of his TikToks, and I saw the Batman one the other day. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
His superpower shall be generational wealth and punching people.
That guy is pretty good.
He is. I do like a lot of those. The Yugi one. The Yugi one, my favorite part was Yugi, Kaiba, Pegasus, and Joey. Yes.
They all have creative names. And Joey.
The protagonist. Make him very short. Yes. Oh, that's great. I don't know why that one just like that particular part caught me off guard. It lasted a really long time. Okay, well, I don't have any other contributions to make to this point. Chris, is it a book series? Is there more smut in your future? Or is this like a once a year cruise time only?
There's I don't think there's more. I'm unsure. I have the book series isn't done. There's three more books, I think, that's out now. Or I think there's two more that's out now. I think one's called Iron Flame, and the other one's called Onyx Storm or something. I don't know.
Those do just sound like generic. Just generic young adult dramas. You could just any color and any tragic event.
The thing, I've heard mixed things of like, oh yeah, I heard some people say that the books get worse, but that's from the point of view of someone who likes all the romance stuff. And I heard that, well, I've heard that the book goes less into romance, more into the actual story, which I'm like, all right, if it does that, I'll keep reading. But I've also heard some people say it does more romance. And also I've heard that it gets more into the will they, won't they of things, and that I'm not. Like, I literally cringe when reading this book. And there are some absolute terrible the dialogue surrounding relationship stuff, I think, is really bad. And I feel dumb saying that because I'm not a writer, nor do I read stuff, but it's just like, it's literally like, ah, oh, he wants to kill me, but gosh, if he isn't attractive, if I'm not attracted to him right now,
that just
it's like, wow, what the heck?
This is gonna upset somebody, and I hope it doesn't upset too wide of an array of people. But it's such a juvenile way of writing, like such a.
That's how I was like, this is so immature. Like, I understand.
I could be, I could find somebody attractive. I could look at that person and be like, I know they're horrible, but they have nice features. And then that's where it would stop.
And then even when I was like, you know, teenage boy, I could see a girl, be like, oh, she's beautiful, whatever. Yeah. But my mind wasn't like stuck on, like, throughout our whole conversations of just, oh, this about her, this about her, this about her. Like, I kind of think it, and then it goes, I didn't engage in whatever we're conversation or school or whatever is happening. I'm not completely stuck on this infatuation, especially I don't think I would be in this, in a wartime setting of training and stuff, but hey, maybe.
I think some amount of ADHD probably prevents me from focusing on any one feature too long anyway. It would just be funny though, Chris, if we like on the podcast come out and be like, yeah, we don't read very much. And then all of a sudden Chris is like, I read now. It's one very specific type of book.
Yeah, I did not know that romanticy. I've heard the term before. I didn't really know it was like a genre of books. There's plenty of like...
That's the Metroidvania of book genres.
It's funny because there's a lot of fantasy readers who are just like, don't call romanticy fantasy. It is not fantasy. It's like they hate the romance. It almost makes me just laugh at it. Like, I'm like, no, like it is a valid book. Clearly people love that book. It's sold plenty of stuff. It has an audience. But yeah,
I think those kinds of categorizations are funny. And the reason I bring up Metroidvania is I'll hear people get upset at the term Metroidvania. Like, I get that it's like dumb in the simple way. Like, you just put those two games together, but also it does pretty accurately describe what's going on in that game. And that's all we're trying to use it for, you know? Romance?
Yeah.
Fantasy? Yes. Check. It's both. I'm sorry you don't want it, and you're part of the Dewey Decimal System. Chris, I still haven't asked you, where did your cruise go? Like, not know. Just the ocean, but like where?
I'm sure someone goes on a cruise and just like, all right, we're going to sell out to this point, and then we're just going to turn back around.
In my experience, they do, but that to me would not be interesting at all. And Heather has been on two cruises, I think, and she said the same thing. It's like, it's stupid. You go off and you get off in this other country in this very small area, and you're there for a couple hours. And I'm like, well, that doesn't count.
Oh, that's how it is, essentially. Yeah, we went to Bimini, Bahamas, which is only like 50 miles from Florida, from like Miami. It's really close. It's Bahamas is like, it's a thing of islands, and the main area of Bahamas is probably 50 miles away from Bimini, but it's not, it's still part of Bahamas. So you go there for like 6 hours or so. I mean, the boat is there from like 8 a.m. to like 6 p.m. But you know, you just go off, you go to the beach, whatever, for like 6 hours. And that's honestly all I need to really see of the place. I go to the beach and stuff. Then we went to Cozumel, Mexico. We went to the beach there and then walked around parts of the city. That felt more like we went a little more off the beaten path there. So that felt more like we're actually in a different place than just a resort area. And then we were supposed to go to the Cayman Islands, but the hurricane altered those plans. And so instead they took us to Costa Maya, which is just a little further down south in Mexico. And that was, honestly, that was kind of nothing. we got off the boat. We didn't care to go to the beach that day, and so we just walked around the little port area spot and kind of wasn't nothing. And we were probably walking around for like an hour and a half, and then went back to the boat. But
We just, I don't remember how much Brian Regan you've watched, but just Heather asked me where you were going, and I didn't know, and it just brought to mind that Brian Regan skit where, like, the way the guys talk to each other, and they, like, Brian and his brother go golfing, and his wife's like, so, is he seeing anyone? He's like, how am I supposed to know that? I was like, well, usually I ask for details. It's like, oh, he's on a cruise. I didn't care the where. I just knew it's on the water. I know he's got a new driver. It's good skit. Good skit. But, well, hey, I'm glad you had fun. I don't think it would be for me, but I imagine that I will end up on one at some point anyway. And I do...
I would say that the... So my criteria for picking a cruise line was like no kids or not a lot of kids. Virgin Voyages, absolutely no kids were allowed on it. Like they are not allowed. Got to be 18 or older to be on that cruise. Celebrity, kids are allowed, but it's just not tailored to them. So a lot of them don't come. And so honestly, there was probably like 1% kids on that cruise. Like I probably only saw like 20 kids the whole time. Just good. That's the most kids I care to see.
Ever.
But I will say this. the median age on our cruise ship was probably 50.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I saw 3 people fall. That's never good. They're fine. But it's always scary, you know.
Yeah, I think when they're of the age when it's not funny when they fall, that's always scary.
Yeah.
I think
like literally saw. Yeah,
but when you get to let's say you get retired, and I feel like Heather has mentioned, you know, friends or maybe just acquaintances that they go on tons and tons of cruises, but like it's one of those where it's like, well, if you're already in Miami and you do this cruise and you do the next cruise or whatever, it's like it's not the most expensive vacation by a stretch. So if you like it, just
yeah,
you do one and you do the next yeah. one. And...
There was a couple people who they just. Continue on with the cruise. They just
you probably like, get the, points, the, right? Oh. Like if you go on the celebrity cruise yeah, and you probably makes the next celebrity.
He's like, cruise. Oh yeah. He's like, yeah. Well, I spend so much at the casino and get points. I'm like, oh, okay, so you lost so much money that they gave you points.
Steve Rosenzweig. I hope not that he'll ever listen. If I'm wrong, he won't like be able to call me on it. But he went on a cruise with somebody else. Who they did that, but the rule was actually you didn't have to lose X, you just had to like put in and play through X, so you could still come out ahead. Now, realistically, yeah. you still lost most of it, or most people lost all of it, is probably actually how it goes. But it's like, realistically, you didn't have to technically lose that much. It's like, you probably will, but whatever, all right, I get it. I'm sure there's value in going on the same cruise over and over again. Somehow or other, I'm sure there's yeah. ways to find
out. Yeah, well, I'm sure once you pick the one you like, Rob, just keep going on kind of those build up whatever points and stuff. But
I can see that.
But yeah,
excellent. Well, I think that's enough smut for me before I go to bed. Just
I still haven't finished the book yet. I still have like 50 pages or so left. Apparently, it's supposed to be supposed to end on a cliffhanger or something, and. That kind of made me not want to read it.
If that cliffhanger is a will they won't they cliffhanger, I would never touch the next book in defiance. Would never. But I'm glad you had fun. Good to talk to you. Next week, let me think. Next week is going to be the 8th, 7th, 8th, Friday, 7th. We're getting really close to Avatar Magic Cards coming out. I think that's like the 14th. I think is when they will arrive on my doorstep. And if I were to do a pre-release event, that would be on like the 14th or the 15th, just to have an excuse to open some up. So that's 2 weeks out. So anyway, we'll talk about that more next week, maybe, or maybe we won't. In the meantime, I'm Sean. That's Chris Ford, a.k.a. the Smutjective Geek. That didn't roll, didn't roll off my tongue as good as I wanted it to. This has been Avatar Last Podcasters. All of the positive interactions and thumbs ups, reviews, comments you can leave us. We appreciate it all. I'll leave all the information down in the description, and thanks. We'll see you next time.